Okay, so if you're just joining us, we're on page 55 of The Great Controversy, 1858 edition. And if you need a copy, go to vbates.com. They're about $5-6. I can't remember how much they're costing. Anyway, between $4 and $6. And or email me at remedygod.org. I'll send you a free one. Because we get them directly from her, and we don't charge anybody for them. So we pay for them so that she gets the money she needs, and then we'll just send them out for free. Because whatever, you know, like the Lord says, freely you receive, freely give. Or freely give. No, yeah, receive first, I think, yeah. So, and we're down to 1.4. Okay, good. So, all right. Okay, thank you. Thank you, Brother Duane. For those that need the PDF, it's right there in the room. He just put it in the room. You know, I should put that link on the WTPR page. You know, one of these days, if I can remember, I'll put it on the PDF. I'll put that link on the WTPR page. That's why everybody on the radio can listen along. But anyway, we're on the bottom of page 55, last paragraph, and it says, Jesus answered. That's where you want to start, okay? Let me get this out of the way. Okay. Jesus answered nothing to the many questions put to him by Herod. So we know where we're at right now, right? If he's talking to Herod, okay? And neither did he regard his enemies who were vehemently accusing him. Herod was enraged because Jesus did not appear to fear his power, and with his men of war, derided, mocked, and abused the Son of God. And you can see Satan working here. Now, this is something a lot of people don't seem to realize. Satan did everything he could to get Jesus to relent or bow to him and like just give up to the point where, because no one was tortured like Jesus. His body was literally hanging off of him in areas where they were ripping it with those whips that had bone and sharp metal and porcelain and stuff like that in them. And they would, when they would whip you really hard, if they hit fleshy areas like the thigh or like the gut, and it would stick, and then they would pull, and then it would rip shreds of skin off. So his whole body was just tore up, and his visage was marred, as it says in the word. And like in today's world, it would say your mother wouldn't even recognize that he was so beat up. And that's why he died so quickly on the cross. He was gone by 3. Well, our time. He was up there only 3 hours. And where the other guys, they'd be up there for a few days if they didn't break their legs because there was a high Sabbath coming. And I think the only reason those guys were there then is because ordinarily I would think they would hang people on a Sunday and let them hang there so that by the Sabbath it wouldn't be an issue for the Jews, even though it was outside the city. But they were specifically annoyed by the fact of anybody up there because of the fact they're the ones that got them, Jesus, on the cross in a church and state form of way, you know, because, you know, the Jews were under Roman control. So you had a church and state scenario going on there. And they're going to use that exact same scenario in our day. And that's why all the churches out there, including the Seventh-day Adventist Church and all the so-called separated brethren with their little ministries out there, like Bill Hughes and Doug, well, not Doug Batchelor, but Walter, well, no, Walter Veith is still inside the church. What is that one guy? Henriquez. What's his first name, man? I don't know. It's Henriquez. Andrew Henriquez. He doesn't have a 501c3, but he's, I think it's a 501c1 or 4 or something like that, where it's not tax deductible, but he still joined his church with the state. So pray for him because he might not know, because I don't know if he was born and raised here in America. He's got an accent, if I recall. But there's a lot of them out there that claim to have separated from the Seventh-day Adventist Church when, in fact, they're creating the image of the beast just as much. And they're going to be used by Satan to come after us in the last days because the church and state thing is prophesied to give us the problems. And so that's why some of us go through the trials we go through to get us ready. Because the days are coming when we're not even going to be able to be online. Hence the reason we're pushing the books. That's why I did that one video a while ago in regards to this, proving that the Seventh-day Remnant Church are the only ones doing it right now. And what I mean is like what Sister White said about, you know, bringing, like the Lord's going to bring back an interest in the original writings because she said they would be writing or writing books of a new order. In other words, changing her writings. And they did in a big way. And so, and then they changed the, you know, their statement of faith, but we knew that a while ago. I just had to put the video up because people get getting in my face saying, oh, I'm lying. I says, yeah, well, now you got your proof. So anyway, Herod was astonished at the noble, godlike appearance of Jesus when shamefully abused and feared to condemn him, and he sent him again to Pilate. Satan and his angels were tempting Pilate and trying to lead him on his own onto his own ruin. They suggested to him that if he did not take any part in condemning Jesus, others would. The multitude were thirsting for his blood, and he did not. And if he did not deliver Jesus to be crucified, he would lose his power and worldly honor, and would be denounced as a believer and the impostor, as they turned him. And from what I understand, I don't know if she goes into this. We know he acts like he's going to wash his hands. He had power to stop it, but he didn't, you know, stop it. And his wife, the Lord even, you know, the father even sent a dream onto his wife to try to get him to see that you shouldn't be doing this. But if I'm not mistaken, I think Pilate went in and lost his power and committed suicide anyway later. But going on, it says, Pilate, through fear of losing his power and authority, consented to the death of Jesus. And notwithstanding, he placed the blood of Jesus upon his accusers, and the multitude received it, crying, his blood be on us and our children. And on our children, yet Pilate was not clear. He was guilty of the blood of Christ. For his own selfish interest in love of honor from the great men of earth, he delivered an innocent man to die. Now think about that. This is guilty by association kind of a thing. And a lot of us get tempted in this area where, you know, you won't say nothing. Because not saying something is just as bad as actually taking part in the sinful act that you just witnessed. Like if it's a brother or sister in a faith. And I'm not saying going out there on the street and walking up to somebody that just stroke up, you know, just lit up a joint or something. And you, I mean, they don't even know what you're talking about. They don't care. But a brother or a sister in a faith, Ezekiel's pretty plain that if you don't warn them, their blood's on your hands. And so if you have the opportunity to see something go down, you got to say something because you love them enough to do that. And this is what angers some, not all, but in today's world, the majority, and that's why the last two videos I've on my YouTube page, I've made it to where I approve all the comments now, because, especially because of the trolls. When the trolls find out that they can't keep throwing stuff out there, the only audience they're going to get is me, because I'm going to pre-approve everything now. That slowed down ridiculous. In other words, he started going, this one troll, he's SDA, and he told me he's got thousands of these different accounts on YouTube. He goes to my other videos. And he starts making statements, and then I block him, then he comes back using a different name. It's just all deception. And he doesn't realize that the angel, and I told him a few times, the angel with the inkhorns recording everything. And look at what it says in Matthew about every idle word. So keep that person in prayer. I don't know if it's a woman or a man. I'm assuming it's a man. At least I'm discerning as much. But it's just sad how they don't seem to realize what they're doing. They did the same thing to Nehemiah, Jeremiah, Isaiah, our Lord, Savior, and King, all the apostles, all the Christians that were killed by the Vatican. They don't seem to realize we're telling them this stuff because we love them. You know, we don't want them to die. I mean, seriously, if I didn't love them, I'd go, hey, see ya. Wouldn't want to be ya. You know, like that kind of a thing. I wouldn't care. You know, but there's somebody's kid out there, you know. I don't care if you're 7 or 77, you know. You're someone's child, or you're... If that's the only way it'll work for you, you think of it that way. For me, it kind of works that way sometimes. It's kind of like one of my boys said, like Josh said, look at everybody like they're an infant, like they're a toddler. And that makes it easier to picture in your mind the love of Christ. You know, they're little children. They don't get it. And so show them as much love as you can. And sometimes they get a little rambunctious, and forgive them. They don't really know what they're doing. They really, really, really don't. As I know, like when I was a Catholic, I did an awful lot of rambunctious things against the people that said I was going to hell because I was a Catholic. And praise God that I was forgiven. I'm sure some of those young men, those Baptists, prayed for me. Anyway, going on, it says, if Pilate had followed his conviction, he would have had nothing to do with condemning Jesus. The trial and condemnation of Jesus were working on the minds of many, and impressions were being made which were to appear after his resurrection. And many were to be added to the church whose experience and conviction should be dated from the time of Jesus' trial. Satan's rage was great as he saw that all the cruelty which he had... Just lost the radio. Hold on. See, now this is... I can't remember what I did last time to fix this to stop the radio from falling out. But there it goes. It's back in. But now I got to... Okay, the radio's back. All right, but I can't remember. Do you guys remember what I did to fix that? To stop the intranet? Because I'm running back on... Oh, I just fell out. Gosh. Oh, man. Let's just give it a minute here for those who are listening on this recording. Okay, I'm back. So, yeah, I can't remember what I did last time to prevent... Oh, it was a router thing. Okay, I got to look back in the router and look at the config files and make sure that everything's good there. But because I cloned it all back. I'm not going to say how far back I went, but it was far back enough to where the changes are no longer there. And so hopefully this won't be an issue tomorrow. But I'm looking at the bandwidth, and there's no spiking. So it's on my end. So anyway, finishing here, it says, Satan's rage was great as he saw that all the cruelty which he had led the chief priests to inflict on Jesus had not called forth from him the least murmur. I saw that although Jesus had taken man's nature, a power and fortitude that was godlike sustained him, and he did not depart from the will of his Father in the least. Amen and amen. Okay, now we're going into chapter 9. And this is talking about the crucifixion of Christ. Now, this isn't going to be easy to hear for some of us. And if you're just joining us on the radio there on WTPR, we're on page 57 of the Great Controversy. We're just starting, 1858, Great Controversy. The one that hasn't been rewritten. If you're a Seventh-day Adventist, you need to get the 1858 edition. And don't throw out the ones you got from the Seventh-day Adventists, like the 1888 or the 1911 or any of the other ones. Don't throw them out because those are evidence books. It's like the NIV that I still have in the house. Someone comes in and they're using a bogus Bible or something like that, and I'll show them, here, go to Acts chapter 8, verse 37 or something, because that verse ain't there. Because they baptized babies, and so they had to take that verse out because it was pretty obvious that Philip was telling the eunuch, you got to profess Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior and repent of your sins before I can baptize you. Well, an infant can't do that. Pagans baptize infants, as do Catholics, because they're pagans. And so, anyway, going on. Chapter 9. The Son of God was delivered to the people to be crucified. They led the dear Savior away. He was weak and feeble through pain and suffering caused by the scourging and the blows which he had received. Yet they laid on him the heavy cross upon which they were soon to nail him. But Jesus fainted beneath the burden. Three times they laid on him the heavy cross, and three times he fainted. Then they seized one of his followers, a man who had not openly professed faith in Christ, yet believed on him. They laid on him the cross, and he bore it to the fatal spot. Companies of angels were marshaled in the air above the place. A number of his disciples followed him to Calvary in sorrow and with bitter weeping. They called to mind Jesus riding triumphantly into Jerusalem, and they following him, crying, Hosanna in the highest, and strewing their garments in the way and the beautiful palm branches. They thought that he was then to take the kingdom and reign a temporal prince over Israel. Now think about that. These are the apostles, and the reason they thought that is because of the mindset of the Pharisees. It's the same thing happening today. Same lie. And the only reason Satan's using the same exact lie, only in a different format, instead of being Judaism, it's Christianity that he's using this lie in. And what I mean is, back then, the Pharisees taught, even though the Bible says otherwise, and guys like Nicodemus and the others, that did leave finally and embrace Christ as Savior, they knew certain things in the Bible were preached in error, but the majority didn't, just like today. And so like today, when they see, like a lot of these preachers out there, they're talking about a secret rapture. Oh, God would never let his wrath fall upon his people. That's using truth in error, because you're correct. The wrath of God does not fall upon his people, but that doesn't mean he removes them from the planet, because if he did, Oh, explain Sodom and Gomorrah, you know, or explain Noah's Ark. They were still on the planet. And or explain the tank plays of Pharaoh. You know, the Jews were still there along with, you know, with the Pharaoh and all that. And but the wrath didn't fall on them. They didn't fall on them at all. And so, but a lot of people keep forgetting that because they're not reading their Bibles. They're reading their pastors. They're Jesuit-influenced pastors that use the Schofield reference of the gap theory of their 1910 commentary in their King James Bible. It's a King James Bible with a 1910 commentary from Schofield, who was a Jesuit, obviously. And so they all think when Jesus gets here, now think about this. I mean, it's pretty plain in the scripture that he does not touch the planet at his second coming. I mean, it literally says the dead in Christ rise to meet him in the air and the Gideon band right after them, right? But yet they're all, you know, like, remember what happened on the Y2K crisis? They had cameras, literal camera on 20-foot poles all around the Mount of Olives, thinking that Jesus was going to ascend from above and they were going to videotape it so that every eye, every camera eye, shall see him, right? And because they just, you know, 2 Peter 1:20 doesn't even mean anything to them. They're putting their own opinion on prophetic utterance, right? Because the Bible doesn't say anything about camera eyes, right? And so most of the people out there believe them. And so they think when Jesus comes, just like the apostles believed 2,000 years ago, he's going to come as a muscle-bound Messiah and take over everything and take the kingdom, reign as a temporal prince over Israel, like she said here. That's what they thought, because they were raised by those Pharisees who also taught that. That's another reason Jesus came, to clarify things, glorify the law and the word and all that stuff and make it clear. Same thing's happening today. You know, they're using the same lie because it worked. It works so well, he's not going to change that. So going on, it says, how changed the scene? How blighted their prospects? You know, because they thought Jesus was going to be a king, and now he's literally bleeding to death right before their eyes. They followed Jesus, not with rejoicing, not with bounding hearts and cheerful hopes, but with hearts stricken with fear and despair. They slowly, sadly followed him who had been disgraced and humbled and who was about to die. The mother of Jesus was there. Her heart was pierced with anguish, and that was prophesied by that priest that christened, if you want to call it that, or dedicated Jesus when he was a baby in the temple. Hold on a second. I just got a text from Brother Joe. I just want to make sure that... well, that's an old text. Yeah, I know. We all fell out here. I got to check the router. I got to remember to check the router earlier. But are we still in there? Let me just send a PM to Joe. Hear me? Oh, it's not typing. Okay, hear me? Oh, he's typing. Okay, I see him typing. All right. SDR Indy's not, and neither's the radio. The radio's in. I can guarantee you the radio is in. I don't know. It's a ghosting thing because the radio is showing itself in on the server, and the VU meter is running across the screen as if it's in, but it's not showing up here in the room for some goofy reason. So that's what happened last week. I gave full authority to the server. I don't understand why this is even happening. Unless... Okay. Yeah, still in. Okay, hold on. Okay, yeah, it's still in. Fran, can you ask Luke... Come here. And, okay, all right, good. So Fran's in on my side. She's in on the WTPR side. We got 9 families on WTPR, and I know they can hear me because I can see the VU meter. Well, that's what I call it, but it's just a bar that runs across. It's kind of like you hear in the chat room where you see the bar going up and down when you're talking on the mic. In the old days, it was called a VU meter. And so, but thanks, Joe, for texting me. And then Eli texted me too. So let me just get to see what Eli said. Oh, he can. Okay, he says he can hear WTPR. And so that's weird, even though it shows it's not in there. As long as that VU meter's, I don't care if WTPR shows in the room or not. I'm not in it for the numbers. Okay, she's back now too. So it's got to be the router thing. He's not? Okay, then we got issues here. So it's got to be the router. Okay, thanks, Joe. Okay, good, all right. All right, so continuing, it says the mother of... I already said this. Now talking about Mary, it says her stricken heart still hoped with the disciples that her son would work some mighty miracle and deliver himself from his murderers. She could not endure the thought that he would suffer himself to be crucified. Now, when you think about this, he was going to do the mighty miracle. I mean, literally, he was going to be off the cross, right? 3 days later. But he still, I mean, they literally unnailed him. He was dead, obviously. And then, miraculously, he got up again. And, but, you know, our patience, myself included, we don't have a lot of, okay, I just lost the radio all the way. So, hold on. Okay, the radio's back now. All right, so sorry about that, Lozy, listening to WTPR. See, that's why I monitor the radio, too, if it didn't go back. It's a five-second handshake, and I can't change it. If I can make it 3 seconds, I would, but it needs all of 5 seconds to do the handshake. But anyway, the thing is, yeah, he was going to do the miracle anyway. It's just that we don't have the patience just like they obviously didn't have the patience back then, nor did they realize because of the idiocy that was being preached by the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the scribes. And that's what amazes me with scribes, because they didn't have printers back then, so a scribe literally rewrote the Bible word for word, you know, letter by letter. And here's the neat thing, too. When I found out about this, the scribe, if he made a mistake on the last character of the scroll, you know, they wouldn't put in Malachi, you know, the last chapter, but let's just say the last part of Malachi that they put in. If he made an error on how he formed the last letter, the whole thing was scrapped because they couldn't erase it and then put like scratch it out and go, okay, here. You know, it had to be perfect. Could you imagine going halfway through and having to start all over? But today's world, we got printers and so. But that's what gets me. These guys, word for word, wrote this stuff down and still couldn't see the truth. It's that 18-inch problem. They got it all between the ears, nothing in the heart. So they, you know, were confused, just like the overwhelming majority of the Christians today, and it's all their own fault. But I still, see, I don't slam Catholics, I don't slam SDAs, I don't slam Presbyterians, Baptists, Lutherans, or even the Muslim people. I don't slam them. I don't slam anybody, to be honest with you. That's what they say. Or I don't Catholic bash or SDA bash. And the SDAs are actually using the same terms that Catholics did from years ago. Shows the exact same spirits in that church now. Now we're called SDA bashers. I used to be called a Catholic basher. But I don't bash them. I don't attack them. I don't expose them personally. I go after their leaders. And even there, I don't bash and attack. I do as 1 Timothy 5:20 says to do it, or Ephesians 5:11. You know, you got to get out there and rebuke the evil like Jeremiah did or Isaiah did or any of them. And yeah, it could get you, well, we're losing people in the room again. So everybody's going bye-bye. And we're getting slammed on the server with downloads. I don't know what's going on here, but they're all falling out. Well, I'm going to stop here. So, well, pray you're blessed.